Girlfriends, it is that time. It is that time for another interview. And today I have Nichelle with me from, did you tell me you're from Texas? No.
Yes, I live in Texas.
Okay, yeah. Texas. She lives in, okay, so this is Nichelle Nelson out of Texas. This is a special episode, my episode in which I call the Purple Cow episode, because it's going to stand out amongst all the others. This is a unique one because this mama is done homeschooling her babies, her three babies. So Nichelle, welcome to Girlfriend's Guide to Homeschooling.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
Yes. But I'm turned up for this interview. So let me tell you a little bit about this platform. This platform is to give voice to those who are of the African diasporic homeschooler community. Okay. Those who are considering homeschooling. But really it's those I've interviewed families all over the world who give their voice, share their journeys, their insights, their challenges, their best practices and insights and encouragement to the African homeschooling diasporic community. Okay, that's what they do. And then also is to encourage those who are not homeschooling to consider it. You know, they see another interviewee that they can identify with and say, hey, if this single mom can do it, I can do it too. Or if this homeless mom or family can do it, then I can homeschool my own children. If these two working parents are homeschooling, home educating, I can do it too. So it's an ability to identify and say, oh yes, I can, because they are. All right. So that's what that is. Let me tell you a little bit about myself. I am Angela Jordan Perry. I'm the host of Girlfriends Chat, which you're listening to here, this podcast, and also Girlfriends Guide to Homeschooling. Girlfriends Chat, like I said, is on all platforms. You can find that. And so our host and have been doing that for 3 years. I'm a homeschool mom of 8 children now for 20 years. 3 I've graduated and 5 I'm still homeschooling. I was just telling Nichelle, my youngest one is 9, and I'm not going to wait till he's done before I live my life. You know, have a little fun, enjoy this life. But anyway, I make my home in South Carolina. We're here in South Carolina. I give families legal status to home educate their children under option 3. So my purpose-driven life is to make a positive impact on thousands of homeschoolers worldwide. I do that first, serving the community in South Carolina, and then these outreaches, which is Girlfriends Chat, the podcast, Girlfriends Guide to Homeschooling on YouTube, which is a teaser talk part of our program and show. Educating Our Own Now Facebook, you need to get connected to that and the platform that's coming with that. And then the Homeschool Upstart, that is a video audio coaching that I have. It's an online course. So there you go. That's a little bit about me. I love exercising and I'm a vegan, and I just love living life to the fullest. Okay, so there you go. All right, so without further ado, Nichelle, let me ask you, are you ready to make it happen?
Yes, I'm so excited. I am always excited to share my passion for homeschooling with anyone who asks me, even on the elevator at the library.
Beautiful. Let me tell you a little bit about Nichelle. So Nichelle Nelson is a veteran homeschool mom with 25 years of experience. She and her husband successfully launched 3 of their children from homeschool to Baylor University. Nichelle has an AA in history from Austin Community College. She graduated summa cum laude with a BA in history from Houston University. She is currently pursuing an MA in multicultural studies from the University of Houston, Clear Lake. She was an Air Force brat, Air Force wife, and an Air Force mom. She and her husband spent 12 years living overseas, in Europe and Asia. She brings to the classroom her unique perspective into the lives of other cultures. So Nichelle, I had just told the girlfriends a little bit about you. If there's more to share, please do. And let us know how you actually began your homeschooling journey, you know, those 25 or plus years ago.
Okay, well, that's wonderful. So the bio you read mentions 3 children. I have 4 children. But our firstborn passed away from a brain tumor when she was 13. But she was the one, because she was our firstborn, she was the guinea pig. She was the one that we decided after much prayer, after she was born, that we just felt really led that she was not to be educated in the public school system. My husband and I both are products of the public education system. Mm-hmm. We feel that we got a very good education, but we saw some changes happening. And so after much prayer, that was what we had decided. But at the time, in 1989, after she was born, we had not heard of homeschooling. Mm, and okay. So we moved from Lodges, the way it's pronounced, a Ilha Terceira, Açores, Portugal. Was our first duty.
I was going to say, I know what that is. I said, I've been there in Portugal, so I know that. I lived in Spain, yeah.
In Spain, okay. Yeah, uh-huh. So we moved from there to Germany.
Yes.
And that's where we encountered our first homeschool. So we were in the chapel, in the base chapel. Okay. And we are an extrovert-introvert marriage. So my husband was in the fellowship hall with all the people, and I was standing alone in the hallway. This is just how we work. This is just how we operate. And he comes running out to me and he says, "You have got to meet this lady. She homeschools. She teaches her own children at home." And my first response was, "And your point is," mm-hmm. I was totally intimidated by the thought of teaching my own child. As I said, I was educated in the public school system. I was always told she daydreams, she doesn't pay attention, she doesn't finish her work. Mm-hmm. And so I was so fearful of passing on those same characteristics to my own children or starting and not finishing. So there had to be a lot of convincing for me to consent. And incidentally, the very first homeschool family that I ever met was an African American family.
Oh wow!
And in Portugal. This was in Germany.
In Germany, wow.
In Germany, okay. So this was among the military community. My husband is, as you said, Air Force wife. Mm-hmm. So the second, let a word be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses.
Right.
The second confirmation I had was I was again standing in the hallway of the chapel, as I was fond to do. And I remember facing the bulletin board and someone came up behind me and we had a conversation about something on the bulletin board, but it wasn't as an introvert. It was like, it was one of those deep conversations. Mm-hmm. It wasn't small talk.
Right.
It was very intellectually stimulating. Okay. And so at some point while I was talking, I turned to see who I was talking to. And was totally surprised that I was actually talking to a 12-year-old boy.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I asked him, I was like, wow, I was just so impressed with his intelligence. And he said, "I'm homeschooled." And so I said, okay. And the first family that I met, what struck me about them was how well their daughters, they had four daughters, how well they interacted with one another. I'm sure, every sibling has their issues, but I was just so struck by the care and the compassion that we didn't see in our own families because, we were educated. My husband and I are much older than our younger siblings.
Okay.
And so they were going to one school, we were going to another. They had their set of friends, we had ours. So I was really impressed by the communion that I saw in that first family. So in the second family with the 12-year-old boy, I got to know the mom. And this is way before Google. She gave me her old subscriptions to the Teaching Home magazine.
Uh-huh.
And I sat down and I wrote physical letters to each of the advertisers in the magazine. So that's how I got a hold of homeschool catalogs and just, poured through them, just praying, how are we gonna do this? How are we how do I proceed? Okay. And so, so that's how we got our start.
Okay. And so how old was your oldest child when you actually started?
I'm over ambitious. So she was probably about 3 and a half. My first phonics program, well, the only phonics program, that was the first thing I learned. I wanted my children to learn phonics through the blend method rather than the word family method.
Yes, absolutely.
And so at that time, the only curriculum, or at least the most visible one, was a Becca. And it was way out of our price range.
Yeah.
And so I found one that had like just black and white print.
Uh-huh.
And the other thing that impressed me about this program, it was called Christ-Centered.
Okay.
It went from age 3 to age 7, and it it didn't just teach phonics. It taught language art skills, parts of speech, things like that. They had a little poem. I still know the little poems that go, you know, to find an adverb, this test try, ask how or when or where or why. Little things that help you to learn the parts of speech. So I actually worked as a waitress at night.
Uh-huh.
Earned the money to pay for this curriculum.
Wow.
And so I started when it arrived. We still have the original box. It came
in. Wow, are you kidding me? Nichelle, you sound like me. Hold on stuff.
Exactly. Well, okay. So what I'll get to one of my other children, but she grew up to become a museum curator. So she thinks my house is a museum. So there are certain things that are artifacts that she will not allow me to get rid of.
I got you. That's one of them. Okay. I understand. That is beautiful. And you know, your story sounds so much like mine, because when I started homeschooling my oldest, who's now 24, so I started right when she was, you know, officially curriculum-based homeschooling when she was 4, and I wanted to start with a Becca too, but it was out of my price range. Yes. I could not start with it, so we started off with some books that I had found at Walmart, and someone, I don't even know how I received this, but I received Hooked on Phonics. And so we had Hooked on Phonics and that. And I think maybe by the time she was first grade, so we started kindergarten, third, so that was a couple of years, a year later. And I was able to afford a Becca and have kept with a Becca. They really do have a great phonics, you know, program and all of that. Excellent, excellent. And that's what I use for all my other children to teach them how to read. I mean, and Annika too, the oldest one. So all 8 of them went to a Becca. I really like it. They're weak on the other subjects, but the reading, they got it.
our children became very strong readers. And what was funny, it was a couple of days ago before my son left, he was reading a news article, and it said something about 6-year-olds learning to read. And he said, "You mean children don't learn to read at 3 and 4? No, darling, you were the exception, not the rule.
Is it true?
Yeah.
It's absolutely true. The same thing with me. So beautiful. So you got started when your oldest was 3, very ambitious, and you homeschool all your kids all the way through.
Yes, that's
all
correct.
All the way through. Beautiful. And so you continued to do this homeschooling while you all traveled all over. It was not a problem from country to country or...
Not at all, because being associated with the military, we were not subject to our host country's laws.
That's right.
Yeah. And when we left Germany and we moved to Okinawa, we were a part of a very, very large, by then homeschool was becoming much more mainstream. I think this was like the late 1990s. And so we had a very, very large homeschool support group that we're actually still very much connected to, friends with, even though we have all retired from the military and are living in various parts of the States. It became family.
Oh, beautiful. That's beautiful. So I love that. I love, number one, that your children had this world school experience. This is a big term now. You hear a lot of buzzwords about world schooling. Right. And so your kids were doing it before it became a term. And so tell me, how did that schooling type of schooling, if you can look at it back, look at it from this side of everything, how did that shape their schooling, being in these in different countries, being with family, being schooled, not going off to the different schools? Did it hinder them or shelter them in any way as they, I'm gonna say, world schooled via the Air Force? Did you find that to be the case,
Michelle? Not at all. I feel as if that their experiences really helped them to develop. As I said, Adrian, our oldest, she passed away when she was 13, but even at the time of her passing, she had friends from, she was dancing on a worship dance team that was multicultural. Mm-hmm. Our second daughter, she learned to speak, well, later in life, learned to speak German, and it just really, it made them not afraid mm-hmm. to communicate with people of other cultures, people of other backgrounds. They were never, you know, often, especially the area where we homeschooled, that was are predominantly white once we moved to mm-hmm. Texas, mm-hmm. they were never afraid to be the only only African American mm-hmm. in the room, the only mm-hmm. one in the library programs, the only one in the science program. And mm-hmm. I think that even as adults, as young adults, just even thinking of my youngest, who didn't have that overseas experience, mm-hmm. but still growing up in a family that embraced learning other cultures, many of her friends mm-hmm. come from different nations, even mm-hmm. while she's in college. So
right, that's beautiful, beautiful. I love that. So if you can remember, Nichelle, and your memory serves you well, and you can take it back to how long, I know you've been, you homeschooled for 25 years. How long ago has it been that you initially started when your daughter was three?
We started in 1993.
So 1993, so 27 years, right?
Yeah, I have to get a calculator out, but 90, yes, because she would be turning 30 this year, so she was three, yeah, so it's been, 27.
Mm-hmm. 27 years, okay, so 27 years ago, if you can take your memory back to then, Nichelle, when you first started, what was your homeschooling like when you first started this three-year-old schooling?
Okay, so what I always said that while I was homeschooling them, the Father was homeschooling me.
The Father,
our Heavenly Father was homeschooling me. One of the first things that I remember having to learn was, one day, and I'm sure every homeschool mom can relate to this, one day you wake up and everybody's doing well, they're all learning their lessons well, and the next day they can't even remember how to hold a pencil.
How to write their name. What's the alphabet? What does the right. P sound like?
Exactly. Yes. And so my frustration, I had to learn to deal with my own frustration. I had to learn to deal with, I remember doing the phonics lesson in our living room, and we had a rug that had fringe on it. Okay. And one day I realized that my daughter was just about pulling this fringe off the rug because of her anxiety over my pressure of her learning and pushing her. And I had to realize that I needed to let them make mistakes, that it was okay, that they had the freedom to make mistakes, even if I felt like they were mistakes they shouldn't be making.
Gotcha.
But at least giving them the mental freedom to be able to do that, maybe establish a greater degree of trust between us so that they were willing to give their all more because they knew they weren't going to be punished for getting it wrong.
Right.
So that was definitely first lesson.
So first lesson. And so when you first started, it was you, the lesson, schooling was going well, but you just had to figure out, hey, not to push so hard at the beginning.
Yes. Yes, okay. Absolutely.
All right. So what, take us to your worst day of homeschooling, if you can think of one, that's a long time ago. But a day that almost was so bad, Nichelle, that made you think about stopping. Maybe this is not for us and I'm going to give it up, but you didn't quit. And that's why, dude, your three children all finished through, you homeschool four. But take us to that worst day.
Do you mean all the way at the beginning or just my worst day in general?
In general, and your homeschool journey.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that would definitely have to be after Adrian's passing.
Okay.
Because Adrian was the one that we really had gotten that vision for, and everyone, the other children just, you know, they just napped, they joined by birth.
That's right.
And so we did question, were we supposed to be continuing? Was this vision just for the firstborn? And so we had, I remember it was between the funeral, between her passing and the funeral, and my husband and I and our second daughter, Brandis, sat down and we talked about it. And and we questioned, are we done homeschooling? But we realized that by this time, I think that by that time, we're talking 2003, so we had already been homeschooling for 10 years.
Okay.
It had become our life.
Right.
It had not just become an educational choice. It had become a lifestyle choice. And so homeschooling gave us the opportunity to allow our children to grieve freely without the pressure of, now you still got to go back to school next week and have a spelling test. You still got to go next week and have a math test. We were able to reintegrate. And of course, we probably reinvented a little bit because now we were without one of our students.
That's right.
And so homeschooling in the game room, where we had four desks with one empty, wasn't going to work anymore.
Yeah.
We allowed our older daughter the freedom to homeschool in her room, away from the babies. We just had to reinvent ourselves, reinvent our school.
Sure. Yeah.
I always say to my children, change the plan, don't change the goal. The goal was still the same, but we had to modify how we achieved it.
Gotcha. I love that. And matter of fact, my next question was going to be, what lessons did you learn from that moment being your worst moment? But I guess it's summarized here in your wording here, change the plan, not change the goal. And you all had to really adjust during that time.
Yes.
Yeah, beautiful. What was your most proudest moment of homeschooling in those years that when you think about it, it just, you know, warms your heart, maybe bring tears to your eyes? Take us to that moment in your whole journey of homeschooling.
Well, absolutely. Proudest moment was when our second daughter graduated homeschool. We have a homeschool co-op in our city, and so they had a full commencement. Cap and gowns, the whole, I was a cake decorator that helped to fund our homeschooling in the very beginning.
Yeah.
And so I must have missed the memo when they said cheat cake, because I made the most elaborate cake that you could put with stairs and
nice, wow.
And everything, because I was so we had also been we had been challenged by family that we were not doing the right thing, and that they would not turn out well. And so to see that day, to see her walk across that stage, definitely our proudest. I mean, I had even, like, the year prior, I had a total emotional breakdown when it came time for her to start applying for colleges, because I thought, oh my gosh, what have I done? What have we done? How is our little homeschooled girl going to compete at an institution of higher learning?
Wow. I know that feeling. So the breakdown of nerves, was it more so, is she prepared? Is she ready? Does she know what she knows? Is she going to be able to handle school? Is that what it was about?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I was so worried that, I didn't use a boxed curriculum. I made it up as we went along.
Wow. And so, kudos.
Yeah. So there were days that I was thinking, oh my goodness, maybe I should have gotten it out of a box. Maybe I should have, you know, all the second guessing came out right when it was time for her to begin to apply for college.
Wow. Well, let's talk about that a little bit more too, before we go to the second half of the show, because now you've done it and you've completed it. Your kids have gone off to college, two have finished college, one is almost done. And I, like you, the first one, your second child ended up being your first one to graduate from high school. But my first one finished high school and was, you know, done. Homeschool's like, okay, we're done. She's done. Oh my gosh, we made it. You know, she was the guinea pig. It was like, yes. And then it gets easier each time and you lighten up and you realize no matter your error, your shortcomings, or your things that you left out of their schooling or you didn't touch or whatever the case, you're like, they're learners and they do learn and they continue to learn. So it gets a lot more easier as it goes on. But that first one, I don't know if you were like me, just totally anal, like, okay, you got to know this and you're going to know this. And okay, now we got to study this. All right, read the whole of this book.
Exactly.
I mean, I had her reading so many things.
Yes.
At 12, yes. 11, 12, 13, that even maybe some adults were not reading, but I was I've got it.
Oh, absolutely. But she is my reader. So that kind of worked out. Yeah.
My first one was the same way, very much a reader. So it worked and she was very compliant. And so that helped as well. So, but talk to us about that journey and that feeling for you of now that they've all gone through homeschool, you did it, you create your own curriculum, you made it up, you ran the show for their whole life of schooling for the most part. Mm-hmm. Tell us that feeling what is the reward? What is the feeling of having done that?
Oh my goodness. So there's a Bible verse that says, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. Uh-huh. And so the fact that they are, that they not only have they come through homeschooling well, but they are very pro homeschooling. Okay. They are very, that was a worry for me. That it was a worry for me that they were going to grow up and say, you know, this was terrible. Why would you have done that? I would never do that to my children.
Right.
And even though I don't know that they've been, okay, so their plan is, I don't know how it's going to be accomplished, but their plan is when they have children, mom is going to homeschool. I am going
to. You're
going
to do it.
Yes.
Because you did a good job.
And they want to continue with their careers or whatever. But my older daughter, I mentioned one time, I think I said something about having like my own homeschool, and she said my own school, and she said she was relieved. I mean, she doesn't have any children or anything, but she said that was like a weight off her mind just to know that sometime in the future, my children's education is going to be okay. Because mom is going to still, you know, handle it. So that's been a blessing to me to know that my children, not only are they successful in their chosen career fields, but that that they feel like my husband and I did a good job.
Beautiful. So. That is very rewarding. That is very rewarding, especially when everyone's done and they can all say it, have good words to say, affirming thoughts towards their journey of homeschooling, and they attribute it to you. That is a huge blessing right there.
It is.
That's beautiful. All right, well, girlfriends, as we transition to the second part of the show, I hope that Nichelle's words of encouragement, like, this mama did it, she's our purple cow, and just stands out. I don't think I told you what a purple cow episode is, so let me just give you a quick synopsis before we go into the second part of the show. But if you ever heard of this, there actually a book is titled Purple Cow, and it's more for business and entrepreneurship, but it's the idea of marketing, where you are standing out amongst all the cows. If you see a field full of black and white cows, tons and thousands of them. You see another field with thousands of them, but then all of a sudden you see a purple cow, it's going to make you stop get out the car, go check it out, look at what in the world, and check this thing out. It stands out. It's very unique. And so here is this purple cow, not calling her cow, but her journey and experience is standing out and one to showcase because she's been there and done that. So that's the idea. And she has these words of wisdom to share and experiences to, and I really, I'm sure Nichelle could share so much more, but hopefully we'll dive in and she can give a lot more insights and encouragement, you know, to all of us who are still in the thick of it. And she's back and all done. Although her grandkids to come are waiting for her. Or she's yes. on. She's
I'm waiting her, on them.
Or you're waiting on them. Yeah, exactly. So, but anyway, girlfriends, take a moment to hit the share button and get this out to others as you're listening. And hopefully this is encouraging you and giving you some insights and some new ways of thinking about this journey of homeschooling and homeschooling your kids. So, Nichelle, as we move forward, these are some questions to pick your brain. And usually I just say keep them short, but you have a ton of wisdom and insights to bring to the plate on these things. Please share. We need you. So share those and insights with us. What is something unique that you all did in your homeschooling that probably, you know, maybe no other family did, but the Nelson family did?
We have, my husband cooks those he loves. And so we don't have like normal Thanksgiving dinners, especially after we moved back to the States when most of our friends, you know, spent Thanksgiving with their family. So once a year we have what we call Friendsgiving.
Okay.
And it's usually in, usually the week after Thanksgiving or sometime in December, where my husband just cooks to his heart's content. And we all have, our family has, we were Trekkies. So we all have Star Trek aprons. And we just have a good time with our friends. We feed them until they can't eat anymore. And that's definitely a Nelson family thing. We also worship together, and we have an online worship service, and so we're accustomed to worshiping together. So that's another
unique to the Nelson family homeschool. Beautiful. So what was your favorite quote, Nichelle, if you can remember? What was your favorite quote that helped you through your homeschooling journey back in those days?
Oh, so, well, I mentioned just the one that I had heard not long ago about don't change the goal. A favorite quote, I cannot think of any off the top of my head. I'm definitely a reader, and so my favorite quote is probably from whatever the last book it was that I read.
Did you have a certain mantra or something? Because the reality is while you know, we homeschool, and I think you said this before, we have some amazing days, or maybe this was when we were talking, you have these amazing moments in homeschooling, but equally the next day you can have these moments like what you know, what in the world is going on? And so, you know, oftentimes it's a mantra that we're going to say, or today I'm not going to kill any kids. I don't know. Today we're going to learn alphabets. We're not killing kids. You know, so, you know, some kind of mantra that just really helped you to stay focused, or something that you can tell the listeners that, you know, they can say to themselves to help them get through the journey when kids forget alphabets, when they just learned alphabets last year.
Right.
You know, what words could you say to that?
Right. I would just thinking about the tortoise and the hare. I'm reading right now. I'm learning about African fables and, mm-hmm. and about whether or not Aesop fables should actually be in Nazi, but just mm-hmm. the whole thing about the tortoise and the hare, about sometimes, and this is another lesson that I have learned about homeschooling, sometimes we are homeschooling for others. And so if we have family members that like to quiz our kids to see if they actually are learning anything, or, you know, as soon as somebody finds out they're homeschooled, you know, they feel like that's pop quiz time. that it is important to realize that we are not homeschooling for our own ego, that we are not homeschooling so that we can say we're proud, or it's for them, it's what they need. And so homeschooling definitely gave me the opportunity to really get to know each one of my children, to know them well. What worked for one, I had to totally change for the other. And so, we would read things out of books, and whatever quote came out that day, we would say, I remember there being something about, we were reading a book, I think it was called Little Riches, and it talked about, it was talking about building a house with wood siding, and that, with plank siding, and that pulling a plank off was analogous to changing something about our character. That if we, you know, if we had a house that had a bunch of holes in it, mm-hmm. that would be akin to having character flaws, a lot of things mm-hmm. about our character. And so if you want a nice, snug, warm house, you're gonna work on your character. Mm-hmm. Leadership was very, very important in our homeschool. Our children were always encouraged be involved in leadership in whatever extracurricular activity they were in. They were in scouting, they were in martial arts, they were in civil air patrol. Our second daughter actually became a judge in the Williamson County Teen Court, which was an actual sentencing court.
Wow.
So even while she was in high school, she was involved. She ended up being pre-law in college. Mm-hmm. But probably any quote that dealt with leadership was important. And our children still very much value good leadership.
Yeah.
If they are in a work situation or any situation where there's poor leadership, that was very important to us, because I remember talking to another homeschool mom once, and there was an emergency situation, and I was just trying to talk to her and keep her calm while we waited for help to get to her. And she said to me that she hoped that her children, she prayed that her children would never go through anything difficult. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, that's not my prayer. My prayer is that, you know, difficult situations are going to happen.
Right.
My prayer is that in every difficult situation, that they would have the skills to be able to be the leaders in that situation, so right. that they wouldn't have to, just thinking about being on a ship and having a bad captain, mm-hmm. you know, because you don't know how to get the ship safely to shore. So
right.
It was always important to us that our children learn leadership in every situation, not to be bossy, but effective leadership.
Absolutely.
How to take the people that they were with to higher ground, to safer ground.
Beautiful. I love that. You should be able to write a book on that or something. Have you did that yet?
Okay. So that's the next thing. People have been telling me for years, uh-huh. you should write a book. And I would say, I can't because I'm still homeschooling. I'm still in the process. Well, now it's been 2 years since my youngest graduated.
Uh-huh.
We're getting our business off the ground. We are Warp and Weft History has now become a mother-daughter enterprise.
Okay.
We are offering history classes, government classes, coaching for the National History Day competition. So my daughters are actually teaching with me now. So now that I've got a little help in that, maybe I'll have some time to write a book.
Yes, beautiful. I love it. Wonderful. And when you do, I would like to definitely, you know, support you and promote that and get it out. I'm all about supporting efforts that we're doing and just getting it out there, because the world is humongous. And yes. we know this little piece, and we got this beautiful diamond that we want to share. And, we, you know, so I would love to be able to share that out on my platform. So, Nichelle, tell us, what is something that you feel every homeschooling family, or resource you feel every homeschooling family should have in their homeschooling library that you found was priceless for your homeschool journey?
I've had a couple biographies of African Americans who have overcome challenging situations, I feel are absolutely essential, because sometimes, and particularly after the summer that we have had, mm-hmm. with very high profile hashtag cases, mm-hmm. We become reactionary about teaching our children African American history, mm-hmm. but we give them what I often call a flashcard knowledge of history.
Yes.
So, you know, being able to memorize the facts about a Martin Luther King or Rosa Parks, that's wonderful, but not knowing what they had to overcome kind of just gives them a lopsided view. If I were to say that I just climbed up 15 steps to get from the first floor of my home to the second floor, you would process that information in terms of your health, how easy it is for you. Mm-hmm. But if I were to say mm-hmm. that I have been in a coma for 3 months and I've just relearned how to walk, mm-hmm. and I've been living on the first floor for the last 6 months, and today was the first day mm-hmm. that I was able to climb the stairs, it puts my accomplishment in an entirely different perspective.
Absolutely.
So it is very important to us to know the backstory, to know how did they, not just that they achieved, but what they had to go through to get that. Because beautiful. One of the things about books, and we read a lot of historical fiction, is being able to apply that to real life. We went through a period where every book we were reading was talking about a child who somehow or another had been left to their own devices, and they had to come up with the courage or the skill or the knowledge to get themselves, probably part of our whole leadership thing. So self-sufficiency was also very important in teaching our children how to learn yourself. Just thinking, even just recently, something happened on the car. Well, I watched a YouTube video and I fixed it myself. You know, mm-hmm. That self-sufficiency in learning is very important too. So yeah, biographies, historical fiction, that was big for us. So.
Yes, yes. Now, is it possible, I'm putting you on the spot, is it possible that you can give us, just rattle off a list of biographies? Like, you need to have this, these are some biographies you need to have, hands down. Can you do it?
Definitely. I may not have the actual titles right, yes. but definitely you need to know Frederick Douglass. Mm-hmm. You need to know W.E.B. Du Bois. You need to know Booker T. Washington. You need to know Rosa Parks, but more than just the Rosa Parks that sat on the bus. There is much more to her story mm-hmm. than that. I love Marva Collins. Mm. She was a big influence. On me. Right now I'm reading Mary McLeod Bethune. I think that my era of history is really that post-Reconstruction and in World War I. I'm just fascinated by that time period. Okay. So I've been just delving, and the people that lived around that time. Ida B. Wells, oh my gosh, that was very, yes, that I mean, one. Uh-huh. With Ida B. Wells, learning Ida B. Wells was the book that helped me to see that my education had holes. I was raised in a military community, okay. in a very multicultural community, so I thought that I had received a very multicultural education. Reading Ida B. Wells and having never heard of her before that point really opened my eyes to what I was lacking, because one of the things that they said in the biography of Ida B. Wells was the fact that they kept her out of the textbooks, the Tennessee textbooks, mm-hmm. for decades, mm-hmm. that no one knew about her. And I thought, well, that's one way, that's something the ancient Egyptians did. If they wanted you gone, they erased your name from history. Right. And so how much has been erased from our history? Yeah. How much, if I just learned, how much more am I missing?
Absolutely, so, yeah. And that's the plight of many of us in the African diaspora. We just don't know, and we just now are learning about our own people. For the most part, we are now on the rise to say, hey, we're missing all of this history. We had no clue or access to, or even knew these names. And so we're regaining the history with our kids as we're teaching them. We're learning, you know. I can say I'm
absolutely
just, many of those names you mentioned, I've said, yep, I just learned about her. Yep, just learned about her. So just learning. So thank you for sharing that list. So is there any advice, you know, your best piece of advice that you can give to these homeschooling families that's out there in the journey, just starting the journey? What insights and additional encouragement and advice can you give us, Nichelle?
Be patient with yourself, and a day is a day. Just if you have a bad day today, that doesn't mean that your hope that you need to scrap your entire homeschool. You might need to adjust. You might need to take a break. There are oftentimes that the classroom learning just wasn't working. And so we needed to get outside. We needed to go and change our environment and do something else. But you don't have to give up just because you have a bad day.
Say that one again. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
That's true.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Because I mean, if I don't know how many days 25 years came out to be, I'd have to sit down with a calculator, but I promise you there were some days that were just not, there were some times that I don't even know how we made it through. Sometimes it was just a blur. Sometimes it was just day in, day out, it became a drudge. And so you have to take each day as it comes.
Yes.
And when you need to adjust, make that adjustment.
Yes, beautiful, well said. All right, well, Nichelle, here we are on the last question, the $1 million question. Are you ready, Nichelle?
Okay, all righty.
All right. Now, Nichelle, you have graduated your children. You have homeschooled 25 plus years and still an educator, you know, very much in your own right. If you, with having your current wisdom, knowledge, skills, insights, convictions, now that it's all said and done, if you had to start all over to day one with your sweet little 3-year-old baby girl back in the day, start all over with this current wisdom and insights and knowledge and that you have now, what would be the first thing you would be sure to implement this time around, or something you'd be sure to change this time around?
We would be a lot better in math. Math was not as much a priority as reading was. I felt like if my children could read, they could do anything. And that's true, but we probably would have been better in math. I would have chosen some different math curriculum. Absolutely. I started with, I think, Mequin, and it was just too abstract for me. I don't even know if they still make that, but
yeah, I've never heard of that. Mequin.
Yeah, but I definitely, I would say find what works for your children, not what's popular, not what your girlfriend is using, not what they are promoting at the homeschool conference. Find what works for your children. And help them to do it. Get to know your children. Get to know them inside and out. That was one thing about when our daughter passed, when Adrienne passed away, I had no regrets about not knowing her. I knew everything about her. She talked to me, and our children, when they are stressed, talk to mom. So I hope that answers your question.
That's good. Beautiful. Well, thank you, girlfriends. Listen, you are the average sum of the 5 people you hang out with. And this hour, you have been hanging out with Nichelle Nelson out of Texas. So listen, keep up the momentum and continue to connect with positive influences. Find you some purple cows around. I would say happy cow. find some purple cows out there that you can connect to. who's been there, done that, and can give you some encouragement to say, yes, honey, I did it, and you can do it too. You can do it too. And then you also be that positive reservoir that others can draw from, and that they can draw encouragement and say, yes, I can stay on this journey because, you know, XYZ, you're on this journey. All right. So keep moving forward. So Nichelle, Girlfriend's Guide to Homeschooling, appreciates you. Grateful to you for being a trailblazer, an African American trailblazer who homeschooled and home educated her own children for the course of their whole journey. So thank you for taking time to share a bit of your journey with us, Nichelle.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Yes, yes, my pleasure. Thank you. So remember that to teach a child is to touch a life. And as we homeschool, we not only touch a life, we shape the future through our efforts of homeschooling. So keep making a positive impact day after day, long year after long year, decade after decade. Keep doing it, okay? And like Nichelle said, before you know it, the journey of homeschooling your own will come to a close, and you would have released those beautiful little ones out into the world who will look back with fond memories, prayerfully fond memories, because of your flawed, imperfect homeschooling efforts that really shaped them to be beautiful human beings. Okay, so thank you again, Nichelle. All right, girlfriends, listen, you need to jump over to YouTube and check out the teaser talk that we have planned for you with Nichelle. She's going to jump. Oh, I got a beautiful topic that I really want her to dive into. And so be sure to jump over to YouTube, Girlfriend's Guide to Homeschooling, and listen to her teaser talk conversation. Okay, thanks for joining us, and peace to all of you. Thank you, Nichelle.
Thank you. Bye-bye.